If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, fresh off a great weekend. We had a great weekend in my household. Debbie turned, well, I won't say what she turned, but she had a birthday on Saturday, so May 31st. She and Clint Eastwood share the same birthday, and so we got in the car and drove from Texarkana, Texas, where we live, to Little Rock, Arkansas, to see my youngest daughter and have brunch with her and just a special time being with her. And we had a great day yesterday at First Baptist Texarkana, as we've been talking about Matthew 24 and 25, when the Son of Man comes. You know, Matthew 24 and 25, that's called the Olivet Discourse. It's Jesus explaining end times to Peter, James, John, and Andrew on the Mount of Olives. And so we talked about all sorts of good things, and the parable of the fig tree, and the use of the flood, as Jesus reminded, hey, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And then I wanted to give a shout out to our baseball teams, local baseball teams, high school baseball teams here in the Texarkana area. We have Pleasant Grove High School is playing for the state championship this week in baseball, and also Liberty Ilo, which is just a few miles down the road. They're also playing for a state championship, and they're in different classifications, so they're not playing each other. But we're excited about that, and this is a baseball town. We've seen lots of success in baseball over the years, and state championships, and playing for championships, and that kind of thing. So shout out to those guys, the coaches and the players, and we wish them well. May the best team win later this week when they play for the championship. Well, another thing about June, so today is Monday, June the 2nd. Obviously, you know that June is Gay Pride Month. And I just wanted to give you a little history. If you don't know about Gay Pride Month, you're going to get sick to death of it. But it is something that began the roots of gay pride. It began in 1969. There was a riot at a gay bar called the Stonewall Inn. It's a gay bar in New York City's Greenwich Village. And the police came and raided the place, and there were clashes with the police, and it lasted for a while. And then that was kind of the start of their movement. And so that was on June 28th. So the following year, June 28th, 1970, that was the first Pride March. And then it had kept building and building. In 1999, Bill Clinton declared June as Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. And then it was later to include bisexual and transgender people, and parades, festivals, advocacy events, commercialization. You hear, you know, companies get on board, and oh yeah, we're all for pride, and they have the pride flag. They've taken the rainbow and turned it into something grotesque, and they just celebrate sin. It's just awful. So I like what Charlie Kirk had to say about this. He said, let me quote it, "Today is the beginning of June. Any celebration that includes half-naked men whipping each other in the streets in front of kids is morally repugnant and nothing more than an excuse to normalize putting creepy sex fetishes on public display. This is wrong and should stop. Most people can accept that two adults have freedom in the privacy of their own home, but Pride has become a public coercion campaign, forcing the rest of us, even children, into celebrating alongside and eventually participating with the alphabet mafia under threat of being found guilty of quote-unquote hate. It's cultural tyranny, no more. It's well past time we prioritize common decency, good public behavior, and the innocence of children again. Let's make June great again. That's the post from Charlie Kirk. I could not agree more. Now, even Sesame Street, I saw this from Sesame Street. It says, well, the World Health Organization, let me do this one first. All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. Every human has a right to health. Health for all. Pride Month. Love is beautiful. Love is wonderful. Love is meaningful. Love is healthy. Love is love. Well, obviously, they're not getting their definition of love from 1 Corinthians 13, because love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6. This was Sesame Street's Twitter account or X account. On our street, everyone is welcome. Together, let's build a world where every person and family feels loved and respected for who they are. Happy Pride Month. How sickening is that? And as Charlie Kirk points out, they're trying to grab the children and they're trying to indoctrinate the children. I saw a clip from Sesame Street where somebody pointed out that, hey, parents, protect your kids. Don't just turn on Sesame Street and think they're going to get good, wholesome things there that teach them how to be respectful and honest and responsible and trustworthy and those things. They're getting indoctrinated by the left. Here was a clip from Sesame Street from a little bit of time ago.
But I have to say, it's wonderful to actually see all of you. It also sounds and looks like you and your families have been staying healthy.
Oh, I have a way I've been staying healthy, Dr. Sanjay. Look.
Oh, does Rosita have a boo-boo?
He got a vaccine shot. My mom
pushing COVID vaccine. This was from a couple years ago.
This morning. See, my mommy and my papi said that it will help keep me, my friends, my neighbors, my abuela, all healthy.
Your parents are absolutely right. You know, COVID vaccines are now available for children 5 years and older. And the more people who get them, the better we're going to be able to help stop the spread of COVID.
That's a Black Lives Matter promotion.
What's happening? Why are all these people together?
Oh, well, they're gathering together to protest. A protest is when people come together to show they are upset and disagree about something. They want to make others aware of the problem. Yeah, I'm bringing this sign to the protest at the community center later.
Wow. They look upset.
People are upset because racism is a huge problem in our country. On Sesame Street, we all love and respect one another. Across the country, people of color, especially in the black community, are being treated unfairly because of how they look, their culture, race, and who they are.
That's on Sesame Street that they've been promoting and pumping into the minds of young kids. It is an indoctrination campaign, and then the gay pride just comes at them. Kroger's all in for gay pride. Tim Walz, no surprise there, the governor of Minnesota, all in for Gay Pride Month. Pretty much, if you want to know how you should view things, just look at Tim Walz. Whatever he's for, be against that, and you'll be on good footing. That guy doesn't get anything right, sadly, but that is the case. And Bishop Jackson and I were talking on Friday. He was on the program, and I asked him, I said, are the Democrats, can you think of one issue where the Democrats are on point and the Republicans, the conservatives are wrong? And he said, no, I can't think of one point. Now, they can be, you know, you can have differences of opinion on economic things and tariffs and things like that, and good and godly people can disagree on that. But when it comes to moral issues, I mean, I promise you, the Democrats are all going to be 100% for Gay Pride Month. Oh yeah, of course we are. Love is love, and we love all people, and we don't want to be homophobes and bigots, and we don't, love doesn't discriminate, and as one guy put, wishing all the homophobes a super uncomfortable month. Well, okay, so if you're against homosexuality, you're a homophobe. Well, I'm not a homophobe. I'm not afraid of homosexuality. Homosexuality is wrong. Homosexuality is sinful. And the Bible is clear on that. You ask AI, based on the Bible, what is God's view on homosexuality? Well, AI will tell you, well, God is very clear in the Bible that homosexuality is sinful. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Lots of deceived people in our world. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, those who are having sex and they're not married, nor idolaters, those who are worshiping false idols, nor effeminate, the soft male. We have lots of those today. As Bill Maher says, they're woke and weak. Nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's listed in a long list of sins, but it definitely is a sin. And then he goes on to say, the good news, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. Homosexuality is not the unpardonable sin, just like thievery isn't, or covetousness isn't, or being a reviler, or adultery, or fornication. Those are sins that can be forgiven as we confess our sins to the Lord. There's no sin in your life that can't be forgiven if you come before the Lord in repentance and faith. There's only one sin that the Bible calls the unforgivable sin, the unpardonable sin, and that's the sin of rejecting Christ. That's the sin of rejecting the forgiver. Well, of course, that would be unforgivable, because if you reject the forgiver, how could you possibly be forgiven? But homosexuality is something that we have so inverted and so flipped what is good and right and what is evil and immoral, that we say, as Isaiah chapter 5 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We have everything turned upside down. And the idea that we can do that and not have consequences for that is mind-blowing. So Psalm chapter 50 is such a great psalm because it lets us know that we have to do business with God one day. It begins this way: the Mighty One, God, the Lord, Yahweh, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shone forth. May our God come and not keep silence. Fire devours before him, and it is very tempestuous around him. He summons the heavens above and the earth to judge his people. Judgment begins with the house of God. And if judgment begins with the house of God, what's going to happen to the ungodly and the sinner? And he says, he talks about judging his people. Then he says, but to the wicked, God says, what right have you to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you are pleased with him and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loosen evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and I kept silence. You thought that I was just like you, but I'm not. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you in pieces and there will be none to deliver. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. Hey, the good news is if we turn from sin and turn to the Lord, he will show us his salvation. He'll forgive us. But if we arrogantly march and go down the road of pride and sin, we will be judged. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We are up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Had my mic off. Had to turn that back on. You heard about Tim Wildman leading the trip, and then his sons leading the trip. Tim and Allison are leading the trip to Israel, and then the boys are leading the trip to the journeys of St. Paul. I've done both those trips before, and they are great. I just encourage you to go. And I can't think of very many people I'd rather go to Israel with than Tim and Allison. Tim just makes everything fun. And they've been a lot, lots of times, so they know the ins and outs of things there in Israel. So I encourage you to check that out. Well, we're talking about Gay Pride Month, and sickening, but it is what we face, and it's a good opportunity to teach our children and to speak up in church about what the Lord says. You know, there's a parable that Jesus told about a nobleman who went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. You might be familiar with that parable, the parable of the 10 minas, Luke chapter 19. And it says this, but his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. Listen, that is Luke chapter 19, verse 14. That is the heart of sin. Sin says, I want to be my own boss. I want to call my own shots. I want to be captain of my own ship. The temptation that Satan gave Eve in the Garden of Eden, you eat of this fruit and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You won't need to depend upon God. You can be your own God. That's exactly what he did. I will make myself like the Most High. That's how he got booted out of heaven. And that's the same thing he lies to people about. Hey, you can be your own God. You don't have to follow God. Who is God that you should submit to him? As Pharaoh said to Moses, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And so the citizens didn't want him to rule over him. And as you know the parable, he gave 10 minas to one guy, and he gave 5 minas to another guy, and he gave 1 mina to one guy, and the 1 mina guy didn't do anything with it. And then he says, take the 1 mina away from the guy that didn't do anything with it and give it to the guy that has 10 minas. And they said, well, he has 10 minas already. And he says, I tell you that everyone who has more, more shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does not have shall be given. And then listen to this. But these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. What happens to the person who says no to God's will, God's way, God's word? I'm going to do my own thing. I don't want you to reign over me. That person is going to face the second death. They're going to be, as the parable says, slain in his presence. You've committed high treason against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you are going to face judgment, sure judgment. Now, God would much rather save than judge, but if you thumb your nose up at the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you will face his judgment. If you don't receive the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, you will face the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he will tear you to pieces. Well, you probably heard in the news about the terrorist attack in Boulder, Colorado. An Egyptian man, Mohammed Sabri Solomon, took a flamethrower and Molotov cocktails at Jews who were there for an event called Run for Their Lives, an event supporting Israeli hostages in Gaza. Eight people were injured. They were people that mature age, 52 to 88. One is in critical condition. And the man that did these attacks and these horrible things and lit these people on fire, he yelled out, "Free Palestine and end Zionists." He was an Egyptian national with an expired visa, an illegal alien. His visa had expired in 2023. And this is part of the globalize the intifada. That's what the kids on college campuses say. Free, free Palestine, globalize the intifada. Intifada is an Arabic word which means uprising, the shaking off. And it's a call, obviously a call for violence. And so if you pump that into people's heads, this is what we need to do. We need to, be violent against the Jews and free Palestine. And the Jews are the aggressors. They're trying to, perpetrate a genocide against the Palestinians. You bang that drum loud enough and long enough, and you're going to get some people like this guy. Who will do harm, physical harm, to Jews. And anti-Semitism, as I shared yesterday in church, anti-Semitism is a work of the devil, because the devil hates Israel. The devil hates the Jews. The devil knows that God has made promises to the Jews, and if the devil can see the Jews destroyed, then those promises of God fall flat and they come to naught. And then God would be seen as a promise breaker. God could not be the God who always keeps his word, the God who's faithful and true. So the devil wants to destroy Israel. That comes to a climax at the Battle of Armageddon that we read about in Revelation chapter 19. And that's when the Lord comes back. Right when it looks like Israel is going to be wiped out, the Lord comes back and defends his people. Well, I ran across, I want to share this with you. I ran across a video from a person I'd never heard of her before. She's a journalist and an author. Her name is Melanie Phillips. And she explains the Western liberal mindset in a way that I had never heard it explained before. And it, in my opinion, it hits the nail on the head. Because as Bishop Jackson and I talked Friday, how can people who are learned, educated people be so deceived and so upside down? How can they call evil good and good evil? How can they substitute darkness for light and light for darkness? As it says in bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, as it says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. How can they look at a situation and see it so wrongly? Well, she explains how this happens. I want to play this clip for you. The Western liberal mindset as discussed and explained by Melanie Phillips.
The Western liberal mind conceives of itself as being good because it's liberal. The Western liberal tells him or herself, I'm a good person because I'm liberal, and I'm liberal because I'm a good person, which means that I believe in things like the brotherhood of man, conscience and compassion, looking after the wretched of the world, the poor, the wretched of the world, standing up against abuses of power. These are all good things, and that's why I'm a liberal. And I'm a liberal because of all these good things. So, one of the expressions of my goodness and my liberalism is that I support the Palestinian Arabs, who I think are an oppressed people, and they are oppressed by the Israelis, who have taken their land away from them, and they are oppressing them. Now, every part of that, in my view, is a lie. But put that to one side. This is what the liberal progressive thinks. And the liberal progressive thinks that supporting the Palestinians is therefore something that makes the liberal progressive a good person. October 7 happened, and suddenly you have a situation in which the people that the liberal progressive has supported as being oppressed, and everything they do is a legitimate defense or resistance against oppression, suddenly we can see that those people have turned into the most bloodthirsty savages that could ever be imagined. Not just people who kill, but who slaughter in a sadistic, barbaric, debauched and depraved fashion that people can't imagine ever happening. They have slaughtered, raped, beheaded, tortured, burned alive babies, children, women, elderly men and others, in which the people that they have supported as being oppressed are good people because they're victims, are these savages. And the people they have represented as oppressors are the victims. They can't have that. Because if they have that, if they admit that that is the case, then their entire worldview is shattered, because the people, you know, the cause they have supported as representing goodness is shown to be evil. And what does that make them? It makes them evil. So they can't have it. So what do? They go to extraordinary lengths to pretend that black is white, that justice is injustice, that oppression is resistance, and vice versa. So they have to represent the Israelis as being at fault. The Israelis are to blame for what's happened. So there is no better way of blaming people than accusing them of the very thing they are the victim of.
Projection.
So you accuse them of genocide. We hear it also regularly. The Israelis are accused of being Nazis. It's the same thing. It's not simply an offensive thing. It's a very deliberate thing, because if the Israelis are Nazis, then we are free. We, the liberal West, are free of any kind of guilt or any kind of association with bad things, because...
That was Melanie Phillips giving what I call the best explanation of the Western liberal mindset that I've ever heard. And so they set themselves on this path that is this Marxist social justice path, that, you know, that you have the oppressed and the oppressors. And so Israel is the oppressor and the Palestinians are the oppressed. And so the oppressed can't do anything wrong. The oppressor does everything wrong, just like blacks can't be racist. Only whites can be racist in this polluted mindset. And so when something happens, as did happen October 7th, 2023, where the oppressed group commits the most heinous crimes that a person could possibly imagine, just the devil's fingerprints all over it, the devil who comes to steal and kill and destroy, and they did the work of the devil, and they rejoiced over it, and they called their parents, and their parents said, "Kill another Jew." They were rejoicing over it. And you see those things, and the Western liberal is like, "Uh-oh, wait a minute, we hate Israel, so this is going to make Israel the victim. They can't be the victim. They have to be the oppressor." And so they do mental gymnastics, as Melanie Phillips said. Otherwise, it shatters their worldview, and they are shown to be evil. And they can't have that. Listen, it is so much better. If you hold a view that is wrong, don't you want the light to be shown that your view is wrong? Don't you want to come out of the ether, so to speak, and say, "Wait, I was believing this. This is wrong." I don't know why you'd want to continue on in your in the lie and in the deception. You'd want to come out of the deception. But I told you some time ago about an illustration Calvin Miller gave when I was at seminary. Calvin Miller, the author and pastor, he talked about a Bedouin in a tent. And he said he was eating dates. It was nighttime. He was eating dates by the light of a little lantern. And he went and picked up the first date, and it had a worm in it. So he put it over to the side. And he picked up another date, and he looked at it, and it had a worm in it. So he put it over to the side. He picked up a third date. It had a worm in it. He put it over to the side, and then he blew out his lantern and continued to eat dates. He just didn't want to know. I don't want to know that there are worms in this, so I'll just be happy being in the dark. You know, Nicodemus in John chapter 3, the teacher of the Jews, he was an honest doubter. He was one who came to Jesus and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher sent from God, for no one can do the things that you do unless God is with him." Obviously, the signs that you're doing point to the fact that you're a teacher sent from God. But he wasn't ready to embrace Jesus as the Son of the living God. It was a process for him. We see him again sticking up for Jesus in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 12, and then in John chapter 19, he goes with Joseph of Arimathea to request the body of Jesus. From all indications, Nicodemus became a believer in the Lord Jesus. He didn't want to stay in the dark. And that's the sad reality for lots of people. They just want to stay in the dark. They want to argue their position. No, I'm right, because of pride. And what is the root of sin? I do not want this man to rule over me. I don't want to yield myself to Jesus. I don't want to bow the knee. But they will bow the knee, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, one day. So listen, if you hold views, if I hold views that are wrong, we should be praying, "Lord, show me, because I want to walk in the light. I want to walk in the truth. I don't want to be deceived." And the Bible does tell us numerous times, do not be deceived. And Jesus said, in the last days, many will come in my name. I'm telling you this in advance so that you won't be deceived, so that you won't be misled. Well, the music is on. That means we are close to a break. I want to give out the phone number, because when we come back from the break, I'd love to hear from you. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, maybe a testimony that says, "Hey, I believe this lie, and then I came to the truth." And as we talk about gay pride, you know, the reason that we stand up against transgenderism and gay pride and all that stuff is because it holds people captive in sin. And sin is going to destroy their lives. It's a cancer of the soul. And we love people, so we want to see people set free. 888-589-8840. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Give me a call and let's talk. As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, Preborn is putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue all of them. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all those precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire preborn week for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. So please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. I just want to reiterate what you just heard about the Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge. And to get your students involved in that, pastors And then parents, this is a great way for the kids to learn the Ten Commandments and then to have something that they can really sink their teeth into and do a speech in that little video speech, three to five minutes, not long, but it can make a big difference. I preached on the Ten Commandments a couple of years ago, and my children's minister, she came up with these hand motions for people to learn the Ten Commandments, and it was so good. You know, lots of times we have trouble with, okay, what's the seventh commandment? And even recalling the Ten Commandments by memory can be difficult. But we know the Ten Commandments perhaps, but we don't know the order. We don't know what commandment six is, for instance. You shall not kill. You shall not murder. And so it was hand motions to help you memorize those. It was good for kids. Hey, it was good for adults. So I just want to encourage you, get involved in that, in the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge. Well, we're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from listeners. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, I wanted to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is important for all of us, and especially important for pastors and the Lord's bond slaves. This is what it says. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. That's how we need to pray, from a pure heart, all sin confessed. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So with people that are caught up in gay pride and all the lies of the enemy, and they believe these lies, well, we're praying for them. We're not trying to argue with them and just be quarrelsome. Be kind to all. We're patient when we're wronged, and we're gentle with them. Now, remember this, when you teach a lesson to a group of people, when you preach a sermon to a group of people, you're not talking to anybody specifically. So it's different communication than when you're sitting down one-on-one. And so when you sit down one-on-one, you're very gentle with people. You need to be gentle. I had to learn that lesson early in life, that one-on-one is different than in a group setting. In a group setting, you're just, hey, if the shoe fits, wear it. I'm not talking to you specifically. I'm just talking to you all. But when you're one-on-one, yeah, you're talking specifically to that person. So with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. You can't make somebody see the light. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But you can present the truth and ask God to use that in their lives, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive to do his will. So the text that was put out about wishing all the homophobes a super uncomfortable month, you know, we don't wish that on those who believe and support sin. We wish that they would come to the truth, and that God would grant them repentance, and they'd come to their senses, as the prodigal son finally came to his senses, and the truth and the light of God's love shone into his heart. He said, wait a minute, my father's hired men. They don't eat pig slop. I can go back to my father. I can confess my sin. I can say, Father, I've done all these terrible things. I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. He came to his senses. He left his pigsty, and he went to the Father and was reconciled. And that kid from the parable, that kid was saved. And the Lord threw a party for him, because God doesn't have any pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. Therefore, he says, repent and live. Well, we have Jim on the line from Arkansas. Jim, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Jeff. I think you're great. I listen to you often.
Thank you.
We do have to have compassion for these people because at core, they're deceived.
Yes.
And I was of the same, caught in the same deception for many years. And I guess, apparently, I'm very favored by God because the Holy Spirit led me out of that.
Amen.
So praise his name.
Amen.
Anyway,
for sure.
I wish the Protestant branch knew more about our Catholic saints, and I wish the Catholic Church knew more about Protestant preachers such as Charles Spurgeon and John Wesley. Both are just fantastic on both sides. And a certain Saint Catherine of Siena, she had mystical visions concerning homosexuality in which she was shown by God that, and I feel so sorry for these people, that even the devils turn away. The devils lead them into sin, but even the devils have to turn away in the actual act because they find it so repulsive.
Mm. I appreciate you calling in, Jim. I appreciate your testimony. And so how old were you when the light came on for you?
It was a process. It didn't happen overnight. It took several years. But I mean, I just can't, the Lord goes through so much pain in this world, so much sorrow, everything he sees going on. And I just cannot add any more sadness to his heart.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you came out of that. I'm glad you called in and shared that. There's, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and such were some of you. And no matter what sin you get caught up in, the Lord has grace. That's what grace is, the unmerited favor of God. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. But he offers it to anyone who will turn from sin. If you're holding on to sin, you can't be saved. But anybody who will repent, turn from sin, and believe what you find from Jesus is pardon and forgiveness. I go back often in my mind to Luke 7, the prostitute covered in the slimy fingerprints of sin who wept at his feet. Those were tears of repentance. And the Lord says, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And so we can experience that forgiveness from the Lord, and we can experience his salvation, and we can become great witnesses and people who stand up and speak the truth in love and tell others what great things the Lord has done for us and how he's had mercy on us. So God bless you, Jim. Thanks for the call today. Well, we have Paul on the line from West Virginia. Paul, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. I listened to your conversation with E.W. Jackson, and one of you made mention of a quote that I'm not familiar with in the Bible, and I missed the citation. If you could provide it, I would much appreciate it. It was essentially, why do you hate me when I tell you the truth?
Yeah, Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says to the Galatians, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Galatians 4:16.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Pastor.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in, Paul. We have Lisa on the line from Texas. Lisa, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. It's so good to speak with you again. This is the Hollywood Prodigal.
Oh, hey, how are you, Lisa?
I'm doing well. I just had a quick comment about, living in Hollywood for so long, and it was difficult to find a man who was heterosexual. Just about everyone I knew was in the homosexual lifestyle, especially the men. And I mean, my heart breaks for them because, in English we have this one word, love, and in Greek, we have agape, storge, phileo, and eros. And what I see is a misguiding or a substitutionary type of love. It's, so instead of a phileo love or a storge love, they are substituting eros. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
that's what I see so much of, and it just breaks my heart, and I pray for so many of my friends that I know are still in this lifestyle, but just from being around so many people in that lifestyle, I just think they just are substituting the wrong kind of love instead of the right kind.
Well, that's a good point, and they're miserable in that, you know, you're not going to find satisfaction in sin. And sin is pleasurable, as it says in Hebrews 11. It's pleasurable for a season, and you can get caught up in the thrill of it, but eventually it leads to the same place every single time. You're going to end up at the pigsty, and you're going to groan, as it says in Proverbs chapter 5, groan at your latter end when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, how I have hated instruction and my heart spurned reproof. So much better to come to your senses early on, you know, and I encourage people at church, you know, as we get ready to invite people to come to Christ, I said, listen, if you sense that you're walking in the wrong direction, don't wait till you get to the pigsty. Stop where you are right now and turn around and come back to the Lord, because that's where you're going to find what your soul really longs for, love and joy and peace and the acceptance that you have with God when you repent and believe. So, Lisa, when did that happen for you? I'm trying to remember.
I left the pigsty. Actually, it's been over 20 years now. It was late 2004, early 2005 in Hollywood. And became a believer in 05, was baptized, and have just been diving into the Word and trying to be discipled and disciple others as much as I can. And my heart breaks. I don't know. I don't remember ever knowing a homosexual person who was gay, in the happy sense of it.
Right.
They're miserable. And,
right.
And, you know, anyone who knows someone, I mean, pray for them and show them what agape love is.
That's a good point. Well, you know, you can't find joy in sin. As we said, there's a passing pleasure. You can find some thrills in sin. And the prodigal son, on his way to the pigsty, he had some high moments, so to speak, with the wine, women, and song. But those don't last. It says in Proverbs chapter 7, the seductress says to the naive one, come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. And after morning, then you're going to experience the guilt and the shame. That's when the bills come due, and that's when you're going to wish you hadn't done that. And then you feel so trapped in that sin, and you feel so awful about yourself. We did a program just a couple of days ago. What do you do when you hate yourself, when you don't like yourself? It's pretty miserable because you live with yourself. And so you want to be in a place where you're walking in the light with the Lord, you have fellowship with the Lord, and you experience His love, and you experience the truth that you are accepted in the Beloved. And you want to please your Father. You don't want to displease Him. So, Lisa, are you doing anything now with commercials and stuff?
I haven't in quite a few years, but I might in the future. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, God bless you, and thanks for calling in. It's always a joy to talk to you, Lisa.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Have a great day.
Thank you. Well, that is the good word. And so we have the greatest message to share with people. As Jesus told the Gadarene demoniac who wanted to go with him, cast out the legion of demons, please let me go with you. He said, no, go and report to your people what great things the Lord has done for you and how He had mercy on you. And that's what we get to do as believers. You know, we have today. Tomorrow may not come. Yesterday is gone. We just have today. And what can we do today? We can walk in the light with Jesus. We can confess our sins to Him. We can come to Him as He invites us. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we can rest in Him and His finished work on the cross. And then we can share, we can shine as we walk in the light, and we can share with other people what great things the Lord has done for us. I mean, we're not you know, what is witnessing? It's one beggar showing another beggar where he found bread. We don't have anything on people. We're all sinners, but we found salvation in Jesus Christ, and we want others to find that same salvation. We don't want anyone to perish. And the Bible says that about the Lord. He's not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's the heart of every true Christian. They want others to experience the forgiveness and the life in Jesus that he offers to anyone who will repent and believe. So God bless you. Go out today, shine and share, and God will use you as his witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.